Kids, you're hanging with us. We've got you sugared up. Now try to be quiet. No. You guys are good. This is not a place where everything has to be completely silent. Most of us like to know before we take a step. If I'm going to do something, I kind of want to know at least a little bit of a game plan. Now, I'm not quite as plannery as Pastor Corey is. I'm not quite as plannery as my, plannery's a word, I used it, as my wife is. I don't plan as much, but I like to at least know a few things. I bought a car off the internet without ever driving that model. I did it twice. Both times worked out just fine. Great cars. So I'm not quite that much, but I want to at least have an idea. I want to at least do like a cost-benefit analysis. I'm not always smart in how I do that. Today I thought, you know, I've got my bike. I had it on the bike rack. I was going to put it in the car because harder to steal that way. If you're watching Facebook, it's not in the car. I was kidding. It's harder that way. But I thought, you know, I should ride it up these steps first. So I got two-thirds of the way or maybe half of the way up the steps and lost momentum. And so I hit the brakes, and I'm starting to fall. I'm just falling back. If Randy hadn't caught me, I was going down them steps. It would have been fun. It would have been epic. But so I don't plan real well, but I plan a little bit. Here's the thing. God refuses to give us the game plan. Have you noticed that? He just simply says, trust me. He comes to Mary, and he's through the angel Gabriel, and he says, hey, you're going to have this baby, and he's going to be Messiah. He's going to be Lord. He's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. You're going to have this baby. You're going to call his name Jesus, which means he will save his people from their sins, or Jehovah saves. And he doesn't say, and everything's going to be okay. Doesn't say that. In fact, in some ways, with some things, it's not. Her life is going to be harder. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And Mary, man, great, great respect for how she handles it. But it's not going to be an easy thing. God rarely promises, but he often provides even where he hasn't promised. And that's what we step into today. And we've got to take it from where she hears all the way through to the end. And so we're going to jump. There's only one answer for Mary when she hears. You're going to have Messiah. And the angel waits. He's not forcing this. She could argue it. She can. I don't know if you know this. You can argue with God. I think you're dumb to do it, but you can do it, right? Walk with a limp the rest of your life. There's only one answer for Mary, regardless of consequences, and there will be consequences. We said that last week. We're picking straight up from there. I'm the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said, and then the angel left. What did God promise her? Messiah through her. That's the only promise he made. That's it, nothing else. There's no other promise. Now, she was given inside information. Elizabeth, which you don't know about, your older relative who's past childbearing age, is pregnant, so she's got a baby to go look at. But other than that, she is pregnant, she's unmarried, she is betrothed, which means she is engaged with contract, so to speak. So the only way to get rid of it is divorce, even though they haven't been together yet, her and Joseph. She is young, maybe 14, 15 years old, and she's facing a very uncertain future. We've talked about this. Again, she's heard that her older relative, Elizabeth, is pregnant, which is impossible. So she's got to make a choice. Maybe I should go talk to Joseph. You know what? Let's put a pin in that. I'm going to go see my relative. And so she heads off. It's going to be about 4 to 5 days of walking into the hill country of Judea to see Elizabeth, who is past childbearing age. She needs to check this thing out. What if she just has some kind of mental break? What if she just thought she saw an angel? She's apparently now pregnant. Tiny little cell inside of her, little Jesus. In those days, Mary set out, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah. Where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Mary is tired. She's sweaty. She's a bit freaked out. Maybe she's got some regrets. Maybe some doubts. Like, did this really happen? Like when the impossible happens, you start going like, did it really? Maybe I just had some bad food and had a dream. Because this is just craziness. She hasn't yet told Joseph. And she's going to be disgraced if this is true. 3 to 5 day journey. She's tired. She walks in, and there's Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is old. I mean, she's got wrinkles upon wrinkles. She cannot be pregnant. If her belly gets big, we need to take her to a doctor. Something's going on. She walks in, and Elizabeth, with those wrinkles upon wrinkles, is glowing. She's pregnant. She's got a 6-month belly at this point. She's glowing with a baby. Oh my goodness. Elizabeth's unmet expectations they could never have a child have been blessed with grace. Mary's expectations of what her life would have been have been thrown into chaos by God's same grace. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, little John the Baptist in her belly, leapt inside of her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to belabor because I mentioned it last week, but the first person to worship baby Jesus on this earth is an unborn baby John. It's incredible to me, just incredible. The prophecy 6 months earlier had said this: he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's still in his mother's womb. Just happened. And then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, Mary, and your child will be blessed." Here's the thing. Mary, 14, 15 years old, she is less than a week pregnant. You know what she's showing? Nothing. Nothing. 14, 15 years old, she'd probably get by for 5, 6 months. Well, yeah, what I'm saying is she ain't showing nothing. How does she know? Holy Spirit. And what Elizabeth is doing in this moment, don't miss it, is confirming for Mary that she's not crazy and that God's got this. God shows up and provides that knowledge, that assurance that she needs. She says, "How could this happen to me?" This is Elizabeth. "That the mother of my Lord should come to me." How amazing is that if you're Mary and you're freaked out and you've come to the hill country to see if any of this is true and you're going to have to talk to Joseph and all of this is hard and you're the mother of my Lord. Oh my goodness, how incredible must that have been. "For you see, when the sound of your greeting, Mary, reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside of me. I felt it. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her." You believed, you obeyed, you are blessed. And then Mary breaks into prophetic song. This is exactly what Mary needed to hear, exactly what she needed to hear. When we are controlled by God's Spirit, and I don't have time to go into this, but when we walk in the Spirit, man, we can speak life to those who need to hear it. And when I am not walking with Jesus closely, I miss opportunities to speak life to people who need to hear life. It's important. Speaking by the Spirit, she hears, you trusted God, you believed, you were willing, you are blessed. Oh, she needed to hear this. Elizabeth has received grace, and she gives grace to Mary, who has been disgraced because she's going to be a single mom, near as she knows. It has always been God's plan, always been God's plan that those who have received grace would share that same grace with those who are in disgrace. That's good news. That is a good news Christmas message, especially in our world, in our time, where you and I have been cast into the role of judges over everyone else. We read a news story on Facebook, and everybody has decided, well, he must have been racist. Well, she must have. Dude, you don't know. We've gone real quickly from judge not to judge everybody because you're in the right position to do it. It's always been God's plan. Those who have received grace would give grace to those in disgrace. Yeah. We've received God's favor as an act of his will alone. Nothing we did to deserve it. If you know Jesus, dude, you weren't good enough. God didn't come to you and say, "You're amazing, you're incredible, I think I'll give you grace." Then it ain't grace, you earned it. That's transactional. God gave you grace. Christ died while we were yet sinners. That's what we give as we call the disgraced to God's grace. It doesn't mean we don't speak on, stand on truth. We do. Truth is still truth. But the truth shows me my need for grace, and grace shows me who Jesus is. Mary says, "My soul, in hearing this, magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." That's her response. That's how she's feeling. She was so down. It's just that word right there, that prophetic word, lifted her up. When the disgraced receive grace from God's people, pain is replaced with joy as they glorify God as a result. Mary stayed with her about 3 months. Why 3 months? Why is she staying 3 months? What happens in 3 months? Yes! 6 months, 3 months. Common Core tells me that's about a year and a half, but it's actually about 9 months. She stays for the baby to be born. She helps. And then she's going to head home, heart beating out of her chest, because she is now 3 months along herself. She got a little bit of a baby bump. she's going to have a difficult conversation with Joseph. And as far as she knows, Joseph is going to say, "You're done." And if he wants to be mean, it can go really, really badly in this small town of Nazareth. And God has made no promises. Let me just say it again. God hasn't said, "Hey, you're going to talk to Joseph. Don't worry, I got this." He hasn't said a word. She doesn't know. She hasn't read the story. She hasn't had 2,000 years of looking back and reading it every Christmas because the story don't change. She hadn't had that. She's living this thing out. It's like when you get on a roller coaster at a carnival and you hope they put it together well because it's a carnival. You don't know what they were doing the night before. You don't. I hope this thing works out. Now, when you're watching the coaster, you're cool, but when you're living this thing, that's part of the fun. It's the adrenaline. This ain't fun for her, though. It's always by faith. God made no promises. God rarely promises, but he often provides, and it's always by faith. God rarely tells his servants that it's going to be okay. And guys, listen, sometimes it's not okay on this earth. Can we just be honest about that? Sometimes she leaves, he leaves. Sometimes they betray. Sometimes bad things happen. But he does call us to follow as we walk by faith and not by sight. And so Mary has the conversation with Joseph. And it doesn't go well. Her worst fears are confirmed. He says, "We're done." This is actually what happens in the story. Her husband Joseph, being a just man, a good man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Her worst fears. And the thing is, we know she lives at least a night like this. Because it won't be until a dream that something changes. So at least one night, heartbroken, knowing that her future be a single mom. She's going to be the town ho-ho-ho. See, I know we got kids in here. I'm good. But here's the thing. He is a just man. He is a good man. And you need to catch this. You men in here and all of us really need to catch this. A just man, a good man, when he has the right, when he has the right to hurt someone else who's hurt him, when he has the absolute right to put them to shame, to drag them into the dirt for hurting him, says, "You know what, God, that's yours. I'm going to do what's right by me, even if they did what's wrong by me." It says being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, he had every right to take her before the townspeople and say, "She cheated on me. How dare she? That baby's not mine." In fact, at the time there was a custom, and I don't know how often it was used or if it was ever used, but it was a custom that said that she could, by that law, be dragged to the doorstep of her dad's house and stoned to death. Do you know that? Joseph, being a just man, said, "It's not mine to handle. I don't mete out justice. God does." So he resolves to divorce her quietly. I guess that's a little bit of a blessing. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the angel says, "Joseph, son of David, don't fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." She didn't lie to you. She's telling you the truth. "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus." And Jesus means Jehovah saves, or God is salvation. "For he will save his people from their sins." This thing is amazing. Now Joseph, if he's going to follow the Lord, is going to be the town fool. "You really believed her? You kidding me? Come on, dude." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive." By the way, if that just means maiden, there's nothing special about that prophecy. "And bear a son. And they're going to call his name Emmanuel," which means Jesus is a good teacher. No, God is with us. Emmanuel, God in flesh. God was in Christ, the office of Christ, reconciling the world to himself. It's who Jesus is. When Joseph woke from sleep, so they have at least one night where she is suffering and she is in pain and she's hurting and he's hurting. When he woke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not. You know what that means? They weren't together until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus. God rarely promises. There's no promise in there. "Hey, Mary, don't worry about it. You're going to have a rough night, but it's going to be okay. Trust me on this." Nothing. But he does provide quite often. He didn't promise anything, but he did provide. and it's always by faith. Mary took steps of faith. It is to me as you have said. She has the conversation with Joseph. Joseph responded according to his first instinct. We're done. But then responded contrary to his first instinct because God provided. And through Joseph, God provides for Mary. Life isn't going to be easy for either of them while they're in this town. You know this, right? I don't know if you've been around like small town folks and especially religious folks. It ain't going to be easy, right? They're going to be little whispers. Hey, Mary, how you doing? Ho, ho, ho. It ain't going to be easy. Oh, Joseph, dude, she hooked you, man. What are you thinking? That ain't God's. You just ate that bad pizza the night before. It wasn't kosher. That's why you had that dream. It's not going to be easy for them in this town. And then the next thing happens. While they're living in this town, and it's stressful and it's hard. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be, hey, I need some more tax money. You guys are going to need to go to your ancestral home so I make sure I don't miss anybody in this count. And it's the men, the heads of households, who have to go. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, because he is of the lineage of David. Messiah has to come through that lineage. Whether it is blood or not doesn't matter, which is called Bethlehem, house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. He goes with Mary. He doesn't have to take her. But man, what a grace it is. And we don't know how pregnant she is. I know the story. I don't have time to deconstruct. We don't know. Because we don't know how long they stay there. I'm pretty sure they're not real anxious to get back to small town judgment zone. So we don't know. The picture is two of them, camels. She's got this big old, we don't know. But we probably wasn't two of them. There's probably a whole lot of people traveling. They probably traveled with some family. But they're traveling, and he takes her, which is a grace, no longer being talked about by those townspeople. And while they were there, we don't know how long they stayed, the time came for her to give birth. And then this is the line you know. Let's just make sure we got this thing. How many of you know back in that day, in that age, especially in a town like Bethlehem, you didn't have a, we'll keep the light on for you, Motel 8. Didn't have a Comfort Inn. Didn't have a Hilton. They had houses, and people stayed in houses. And they would stay with friends and with family and with relatives. So this is the line you know. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them or no place for them in the inn. That inn is not a Motel 6. It is not a Holiday Inn. In fact, the word I think is katalama. I'm just going by memory, but it actually says to do with like a guest room. There's no extra room. Everybody's traveling. A lot of people have been born in Bethlehem, apparently, gone out from there, and so there's no room for them, so she's in a place where they would keep animals. And there's a feed trough for animals, and that's where she's going to place her son. This is not a hotel. Oh, yeah, there's the word. Cataluma. Puts him in a feed trough for animals. Wraps him in swaddling cloths. And there's a point to this, and we're going to come back to it here in just a moment. No room, but God provides. And you know this, the King of all kings comes not in a mansion with servants, but in a place you put animals, where the Poe would be born, laid in a feed trough for animals. Ooh, some of you germaphobes are just freaking out thinking about that. My baby, not my baby, no. Yeah, he's coming for you and for me, not just for the well-connected. It's the same grace no matter who you are. And nothing you have commends you to God. He comes for all of us right where we are. You say, yeah, but he's good for everybody else, but he knows my stuff and I struggle. Yeah, he knew that when he came. He knew that when he died. It was already baked in. And he still died for you. And he still loves you. Yeah. And so the Father, God the Father, is going to send out birth announcements. I don't know about you guys. Like when I sent out birth announcements, I just gave a couple of calls. I don't even know if there was Facebook at the time that I was. There wasn't. I wasn't on Facebook. I just told a couple of people. People came to see our kids. God the Father sending out birth announcements. It's going to be a little different this time. Yeah. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds at that time, I don't know if you know this, they were not held in high esteem. We're so used to the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want it. No, they were not. In fact, they were considered unreliable. You needed more than one. If they're going to speak in court, at least two, sometimes three, in order to establish the truth. He thought they were thought of as liars. And nobody wanted to be around them because in order to protect the sheep, they were often around unclean animals. And if you're a Jewy Jew, you don't want to hang out with these guys, right? God comes to shepherds, people who are outcasts, really, spend their time out there taking care of the flock. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Remember, every time an angel shows up, well, yeah, and especially now, you got a Steven Spielberg thing happening in the sky before there is a Steven Spielberg. They're freaked out, right? Angel appears, and the glory is shining, and yeah, they're filled with fear. And the angel said what angels always say, don't fear, fear not. Behold, I bring you good news. I bring you guys, good news. The word is gospel, same word, of great joy. I'm bringing you good news of great joy, gospel. That'll be for not just you, but all people. Ooh, how's it going to get out? Well, partially through you. That's God's plan. The gospel has always been intended by God to come through you, yet be good news for everyone that you tell. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And they would have known, even as shepherds, even as he's unclean, unreliable, they would have known, city of David, is Christ, he is Messiah, he's the one that all Israel has waited for, the one every Jew has waited for hundreds of years, and he is here. And you're the first ones God is telling. Shepherds. Yeah, God is for ordinary people. For you and me. Not just for the well-connected, the politicians, the people who think. In fact, a lot of times those folks can't because they're unwilling to humble themselves. And there are poor folks who are as well. He's for all of us. And this will be a sign for you. Now watch this. This will be a sign. There's two things here. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. He says it on purpose. And lying in a manger. The newborn lambs that were born in order to be sacrificed had to be without blemish. And they would be put in swaddling cloths because they can't be bruised, they can't break their bones, and they're little lambs. They're freaked out. And they would be put in stone mangers, feed troughs, with hay all around to keep them safe until the time to sacrifice them. Jesus is the Lamb of God, born to take away the sins of the world through his sacrifice. This is a sign because it's not normal. By the way, the swaddling cloths, and that's not normally what a baby would, I don't have time, the baby would be born and you'd use powdered salt to rub it down and you'd wrap it in a different kind of cloth. Not Jesus. Swaddling cloths, the same strips of fabric you would use when you anoint a body for burial. Born to die. Sacrificial lamb, without blemish, without spot. That's who he is. It's a sign because it's not normal. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And here's what we've heard wrong. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men, no. That's a KJV mistranslation. KJV means King James. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased, eudokia, pleased, given favor to. Not peace on earth, goodwill toward men. If they're saying that, something failed because I don't know that I see a lot of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. How about you? Been wars since that time, still are. You can't find one major city in America that is without violence one night. Nah, ain't peace on earth, but peace in our hearts for those who know him. And that's the promise. On earth, peace with those among those with whom he is pleased. He takes delight in, he chooses to bless with his grace. And if you know Jesus, peace is your birthright. It's your birthright as you lay your request before him and you trust him. And they, the angels, went with haste. They've just heard, hey, birth announcement, and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. Why would you put a baby there? Angel said you're supposed to, I guess, so what's good? And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They got the gospel, they shared the gospel. And I don't have time, but you ever think about Mary, what she had to go through? She just gave birth. She'd never even been with a man, but she gave birth. And she tired. They didn't have no good drugs back then that I know of. She tired. There's no epidural. There was no like, oh, okay, this is good now. Oh, there's the baby. None of that. There, by the way, I'm not making fun. I know that's harder than that. She's tired. Now she got to entertain shepherds. Stinky, smelly shepherds. But she better get used to it because her son is going to entertain people like that the rest of his life on this earth. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. All along the way, God provides assurance. All along the way, God didn't promise, but he provides. Hey, here's a place. It may not be what you would have wanted. Here's a feed trough. May not have been what you wanted, but it's my provision. Here's a man you thought you were going to lose. He's here all along the way. He sent shepherds. She's pondering in her heart to remind me of this miracle and of his hand in it. God appeared to him because there's no birth announcements. There ain't no selfie with the baby, none of that. How would they know? They wouldn't. God appears. Again, just a little love kiss from God of, hey, I'm here, I got you. God rarely promises, but he often provides. The shepherds returned, glorifying God, praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. That is a right response to a miracle. You tell others and you glorify him in your heart. This will be a sign for you, and many will rejoice, yes. At the end of 8 days, because his parents are following the law, and remember, Jesus never broke any of the laws, even as a baby. When he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given him, or given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's Luke 2. Let's go to Matthew. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. These wise men are Persian priests, magi. The transliteration is M-A-G-O-I. They're magi. Persian priests, likely from Daniel's time in Babylon, where Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego glorified God as they resisted and did what they ought to do, where Daniel wrote prophecies. There's that thread of faith. And so these Persian priests are looking to the skies, and God says, hey, that's the way you want to see prophecy? I'll show you prophecy. And so these Persian priests come, and we don't know that it's three. We just know there's three gifts, right? We don't know how many come, but they're following a star, which is what they would have done, astrologers, saying, where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Let me go back. They go to Jerusalem. They followed it that far. Bethlehem is about 5 miles from Jerusalem, so they've made it that far, and they're just asking around. You guys are like the heart and the center of Jewishness, of Judaism. Maybe you guys don't know. Let me ask. And so they come and they say, where's he who has been born king of the Jews? We want to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. What do you mean? There's something going on. I hadn't heard anything at all. And Herod wants to protect himself and anyone who would come after him, any of his family who would come after him and reign. He don't need no other kings. He's king over the Jews. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And then they quote Micah 5:2. O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. 700 years before it had been written, and they know it. They don't even have to go to the scrolls. Like, they know it by heart. They quote it. They know this thing. You know the thing they don't do? They don't actually go check it out themselves. Knowing is nice. When you put your faith in, it puts action to your feet. Some of us know about Jesus in this room. I bet you, and I know watching, some of us know about Jesus. We've never actually committed our lives to him. And the difference is the difference between your head and your heart. And until you place your faith in him, your knowledge means nothing. Nothing. Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and he ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. That's going to come back in a minute. You need to remember this. Herod asked the wise guys, hey, when? When did the star appear? How long you been traveling? What's going on? And then he sent them to Bethlehem. He's got another plan, right? And he says this, go and search diligently for the child. Hey, you wise men, when you have found him, bring me word. I want to worship him too. Let me just ask you, does Herod want to worship the baby Jesus, the 6-pound, 8-ounce little baby Jesus? Does he? No. No, no, no. He's not interested in worship. He's upset at the possibility of competition. Because for him, it's about power. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Leads them all the way to the house. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Here's the thing. I know that we see it this way. There's like out at night, and there's this little shack. It's kind of open air, and you got the little manger with the baby, and Mary on one side and Joseph on the other, and these three guys on camels coming in. It doesn't happen that way. We don't know how many wise men, and Jesus is not just now born. And if he is, poor Mary, shepherds and now wise men? Can I just get some rest here? And then some little drummer boy shows up. I don't know. It's weird, man. I was just trying to get some rest. Come on. Nah. About a year and a half old, maybe 2 years at the most. They've now set up shop. They're not going back to Nazareth. They're staying in Bethlehem. The carpenter is making a trade. He's working. They go into the house. Probably got their own place now. They saw the child with Mary, his mother. Joseph probably out working. And they fell down and worshiped him. Fell down and worshiped a baby. What kind of humility does that take? As a grown man, you're going to be king. We're not even Jews, but we'll worship you. Yeah, they did what the religious people in Jerusalem wouldn't do. They went and they checked it out, and they worshiped the baby. God provided worshipers for King Jesus, even as a baby. And that foreshadows what happens in the gospel, because you and I know now, 2,000 years removed, the Jews will come to know Christ at first, a number of them, but it's going to spread to the Gentiles. And a lot of the Jews just won't. They won't believe. They won't do it. The Church of Jesus Christ right now in the world is largely Gentile. If you're following prophecy, this is the times of the Gentiles. There'll be a time where it shifts back, but not right now. Foreshadowing. These Gentiles, these worshipers of false gods, of foreign gods, come and bow before Jesus. Then opening the treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and their symbols, and I'm not going to get into it. We've done it before, but these are gifts fit for a king. And worth some money, right? That's some pretty good coin and gold. Frankincense probably as well, and myrrh. I hadn't checked the myrrh market lately. It's probably a Bitcoin called myrrh now. I don't know. God rarely promises, but he often provides. Now watch what happens. Being warned in a dream, this is the wise men, not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. They were warned of Herod, and so they leave a different way. And again, these gifts seem random. What does a baby, a toddler, 2 years old, need with gold and frankincense and myrrh? I mean, maybe you can teethe on the gold. I don't know. Maybe myrrh is good for the gums. What does he need? Nothing. Yet God led these men there. God provides without telling in advance. Watch what happens. When they had departed, these wise men, they went a different way. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Joseph just gets dreams. Mary gets to see the angel. I'm just saying. Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Herod ain't happy. He needs to eliminate any competition, any threats. And so Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night, departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. I need to quickly, I don't have time for this, but I need to. This is not Jesus was a refugee immigrant. That's not what this is. It's all the Roman Empire. Never left the sovereign borders of Rome. If you want to make your cases, don't make it here. All right, this isn't the place you do that. Nothing illegal about what he did. Nothing at all. And I'm not making a statement on immigration. That's not really what I'm doing. I'm just saying don't put Jesus into your box of Democrat or Republican or progressive or conservative. He's Jesus. Let him be Jesus, all right? If you can make your Jesus that small, you need a new Jesus and a new heart. Yeah. So how are they going to make it in Egypt? Joseph's a carpenter. He ain't worked his trade yet. How are they going to make it in Egypt? I mean, you got a baby that's going to need to eat, right? You got a mom that's going to need to eat. If she's still feeding a baby, I'm guessing she is that day, that age. They definitely would have been. How are they going to make it? They got no relatives in Egypt to help take care of them. Oh, but there was this gold. There was this frankincense. There was this myrrh. Oh, God provided before they even had the need. God rarely promises. He often provides. This was to fulfill, because the Lord already knew what the Lord had spoken by the prophet out of Egypt. I called my son. Yeah, slaves were brought out of Egypt many, many years ago. And then Jesus is brought out of Egypt to set slaves to sin free. That's our King. Now the next part isn't easy, guys. But we're not going to just wink at it and go on and be happy, happy, joy, joy. The next part's hard. We're almost in. We're almost at the end. Stay with me. Free will is part of the Imago Dei. That means we're made in the image of God. We have the ability to make moral choices. Because we're fallen, not all of our choices are good choices. And because none of us is an island, the choices we make affect others. Is that not true? I sit with relatives who tell me about addicted sons or daughters and the wreck it has caused their family. They're not addicted, but their family member is. A guy decides that after 3 days of a meth high and he can't seem to escape it, to get in a car and drive, and he plows into a bunch of people at a movie theater in line to see the latest movie. What did they do to deserve it? Nothing. That's the nature of fallenness and free will. But if God takes that away, then we become robots. We don't have the ability to make choices. God has never promised to set everything right on this earth in this time. This isn't where it all gets set right, but it will one day because of the cross. Jesus enters into our world, and he suffers, and he dies. And he promises his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. In me you'll have peace in the midst of it. But it's not going to be an easy world. He never promised that. Don't judge God for what he never promised just because some slick televangelist told you. Please don't. Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. I don't know if you know this or not, but politicians have huge egos. I know it's a shock to me as well. Yeah, he is furious. Yeah. And he sent and he killed all the male children in Bethlehem in that region who were 2 years old and under. Two things about that. Number one, probably wasn't a whole lot of kids. It's not a huge area. Second thing, it doesn't matter if it's your kid, right? It doesn't mean a lot if you say, well, this thing here is killing some people, and you go, well, yeah, but it's a really small amount. Doesn't matter if it's yours. That's why you got to make some choices. Yeah, I'm speaking about some things. According to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. That's when he asked him. Remember, I said that would be important. What time did that star appear? Oh, okay. Just to make sure, let's go and get everyone 2 years old and under, all the males, and let's just execute them. Wow. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation. Rachel, the mother of Israel, weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Then Herod dies. That Herod, another one, will rise. They go back to Nazareth. And you know, Jesus grows up with people talking about his parentage for the rest of his life, questioning it. Even in John 8, they say to Jesus, We're Abraham's children, but you, we don't know where you're from. It's a little slight at Jesus. Like, who was your daddy? We think your mom slept around. That's what they say. The rest of his life, it'll be like that. Because God provides. Jesus comes to live, to die, to rise again. Because God provides, those who walk by faith know him by experience as he meets needs he never promised to meet. God calls you to walk by faith. He doesn't promise it'll all be great. In this world, it won't. But it's well worth it, man. Whoa, I'm 58. I am 38 years of walking with Jesus. Not all of it's been easy. And if you had told me in advance, I might have run. You know that feeling, guys? Do you know that? Some of you who are older know the feeling. He's never ceased to provide. Not always what I wanted, not always the way I wanted. But he's never ceased to provide, even on my darkest days. God is good. And the Bible says he rewards those who diligently seek him, who trust him, who take steps of faith as he leads. I have to stop here. I don't have a choice. Questions